Don't worry.
Too late to catch the missile. I'll just fly quickly around the Earth in reverse time.
The Red Defender begins to circle the Earth faster and faster until his momentum literally changes Earth's rotation on its axis.
I'm back, citizens. No need to thank me. Strange. It's dark in the middle of the afternoon. And where is everyone? You, old man, with a flashlight.
I was young just a minute ago.
I must have gone the wrong way and sped up time. Whoops. Sorry about that.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. To find out more, go to bloodsaves.com. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us. But for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity. A problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
You take your 6-year-old to the playground. You watch her go down the slide, then run over to the swings. Another mother strikes up a conversation. You take your eye off your daughter for just a few seconds. You look back at the swings. And she's gone. Your heart drops into your stomach. You jump up, your eyes searching. You cry out her name.
Lily? Lily?
From the top of the slide, you hear a voice.
Mommy, watch me!
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if she were actually abducted. Go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up for free Amber Alerts on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today at wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this be? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this be?
Power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this
matter? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name, my name, my name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Quite a ride this morning. In the 9 o'clock hour, we are going to have a conversation. As always, but we're going to have a conversation that I think that you're really going to enjoy. We're going to talk about, we're going to go to the Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk to a member of the Rainforest Action Network, and we're going to talk about clear-cutting logging and what's happening to our environment. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, I'm going to be talking to the president of Progressive Democrats of America. So what's going on with our issues out there? Tim Carpenter is going to be joining us this morning to talk about Progressive Democrats of America. And then at 7 o'clock this morning, we're going to be talking to Noah Merrill. Noah Merrill is on a speaking tour. And he's going to come on the show this morning to talk about the Iraqi refugee crisis. We're going to be talking about that at 7 o'clock this morning. It's a full ride. It's a full day. It's an amazing thing going on the wake-up call this morning. So stick and stay. We'll be back after this break.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Good Thank morning. You. Now, I don't mean to be a nudge, but have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden. And take your vitamins.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name, say my name, Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to, much business to tend to. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious. Ooh, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Is it just me? Or you know, I'm thinking about an act engaged in by Boy George. I'm thinking about this act engaged in when the Queen of England was here just last night. It was a white tie affair. That means that you wear tails and instead of tuxes. No, you wear tails. Very, very, very formal occasion. In fact, the only white tie affair in Boy George's presidency. He normally, you know, prefers sitting on the couch throwing back a few with some gnawing on, noshing on corn chips. That is the preferred posture of Boy George. But this week, the Queen was in town, and she headed off to the White House for this white tie, again, the only white tie affair of this dude's occupation. It's a big deal. Only about 100-something people are invited to attend. Royalty at the White House, right? Now, is this appropriate, or is it just the inability of this man-child to conform his behavior to that of adulthood and to leave name-calling petulantness, if that's such a word, if there is such a word, behind him? He talked about the Queen of England and made reference to the fact that she is about 300 years old, and then winked at her. Come on, y'all. To suggest that this dude is a clown is to disparage clowns. The guy sitting in the White House joked in front of her face that she is about 300 years old. She's been around since we were here. And then winked at her is offensive on so many levels. But once again, it speaks to the immaturity of this man, hence Boy George. He has never grown out of put-downs, inappropriate behavior, the inability to conform his behavior to the world that he lives in, the ADD. And dig this, he talked about a woman's age, and not in a positive way. He said the chick's over 300 years old at a white tie affair. What are you, Imus? I guess so. Unfunny, mean-spirited, inappropriate statements couched in humor. Fake humor, mean-spirited humor, cruel humor. It ain't funny. It's inappropriate. And this is the dude that's sitting in the White House? He called her 300 years old. And as much as some of you who are cowards and won't call me, you may say that you think it's funny, but here's the thing. You wouldn't have done it. Because somewhere in your heart and spirit, you would have said, that's mean, I'm not going to say that. I may say it at home when I get home with my family and laugh about it. And that do what you do. Do the thing you do. But you don't say things like that. That's it. It's rude to your guest. Your guest is coming here from another country expecting respect and treatment like a guest. And you insult them to their face, say it's a joke and wink at them. This guy is such a clown. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. I guess they think they can do anything. I know that Boy George's road dog Paul Wolfowitz thought so. Shoot, I'm rolling with George. I can call the Queen of England 300 years old to her face. I can fire any doggone a U.S. attorney I want to, when I want to, how I want to, because I don't like what they want to do. Or I don't like what they won't do. How's that working out for you, Paul? How's that working out for Paul Wolfowitz? A committee of World Bank directors has formally notified Paul D. Wolfowitz that they found him to be guilty of a conflict in interest in agreeing to pay for a pay raise and promotion for his girlfriend. Huh. Oh, and by the way, there are investigators looking into people that bought options on the statement by Rupert Murdoch that, you know what, I think I want to buy the Wall Street Journal for $5 billion. People made money off of that because stocks soared. Doesn't that make sense that there would be some crookedness going on with stuff that comes out of his mouth? But ask Rosie O'Donnell who won the battle between the two of them. When she made fun of him, she lost her job. Oops. You better come packing. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 44 from Southwest Avenue through Hampton. Look for heavy volume due to a disabled vehicle. The right lane's blocked. That's at Arsenal. Expect some delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street in the PSB. Look for traffic to be building this hour, especially in the left lanes. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry and the Graham Hanley. Look for traffic to be building there as well. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry, you've already got heavy volume, especially around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79. Look for everything to be rolling at the speed limit, but it is heavy at this hour. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road, you've got some delays there. Northbound 55, look for from Butler Hill through the 270 exchange. Look for some slowdowns, especially around 270. Eastbound, Gravois from Dittmer-Catawissa Road to Dittmer-Ficken Road. Look for an accident at Township Lane in Dittmer, so expect heavy volume going on there. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for some slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge, traffic's moving well into landing at this hour. And northbound 270 at Highway 70. Look for some slowdowns in the 70 exit lanes. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Pretty much identical all the way across the board. Partly sunny this morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of showers, even thunderstorms this afternoon, higher in the lower 80s. For this evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday and Thursday, they're pretty much the same. Mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers on Wednesday with a high around 80. And Thursday, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high around 80 as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy skies and 66 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 67. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, it's more Riveting Radio with Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is the Elder Mitchell Thornton of the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music. We bring you the best gospel sounds in St. Louis, as well as the up-to-date church news to help you plan your weekend worship every Saturday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on WGNU 920 on your radio dial.
Hello, I'm Doug Scott, director of the Illinois EPA, with a special message for Illinois farmers. You've probably already heard a lot about global warming and that it could be devastating to Illinois, including our crop production. To help combat the problem, Governor Blagojevich has created the Illinois Conservation and Climate Initiative that helps farmers earn money for trapping carbon dioxide in the soil. For additional information on how you can be a part of the solution to climate change and make a little extra money, go to IllinoisClimate.org website.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That is the fax. And the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Yep, Paul Wolfowitz is in a rough one. That's what happens when you try to hook your girlfriend up with a promotion and a raise. I wonder if it would have just been okay if he had just gotten a promotion for her. Or just gotten a raise. Promotion and a raise. And these were people that didn't want him there to be. This is an organization where a lot of the members did not want him there to begin with. And this is a committee that consisted of the committee that voted to find him guilty. Paul Wolfowitz guilty of a conflict of interest for arranging a pay raise and a promotion for his girlfriend. Seven of the 24 board members. It's unclear whether they're going to remove him. Bank officials say that a majority of the bank has concluded he should go. Bad troubles for Pauly. Well, his top communications aide, Kevin Clemens, resigned, saying that, quote, the current environment surrounding leadership at the bank have made it very difficult to be effective in helping advance the mission of the Institute. I guess so. If all the questions you are asked have to do with his girlfriend. European officials at the bank said that if Wolfowitz resigns now, or sometime in the future, Europeans may be willing to allow the United States to exercise its customary prerogative of choosing the next bank president. Yeah, I want y'all to feel that. United States is called the World Bank, but the United States picks the president every time. Yeah, some world, small world, the world of the United States. Okay, get that, got that, whatever. But feel this. Boy George picks a president of the World Bank that the World Bank is now getting ready to either force out or get rid of because of his corruption. Can anybody say the culture of corruption? They can't help it. That's all they do. A senior European official said that Europeans have informally told the Treasury Secretary, Henry Paulson, that many of their governments, some of whom have asked for the custom to be discarded in 2005, would renew their demand that, you know what, we get to pick the head of the World Bank. Also, I want you to feel this. Hugo Chavez is pulling out of the World Bank. You know what kind of impact that's going to have? Huge. huge. It's like, you know, Hugo Chavez is like, you know what? I'm going to let Boy George go out here and pave the path for me. I'm going to do all of these things, and I'm going to look golden compared to what Boy George is doing. I couldn't find a better time to quit the World Bank, aside from the fact that they've been raping my country and other countries like mine for decades. But other than that, now is a perfect time to quit the World Bank. You've got no credibility. The head of the World Bank cheats. Come on, feel that. The head of the World Bank cheats. Is there a problem in that sentence? The head of Boy George head. Boy George appointed a person to head the World Bank who cheats. He can't help it. That's all he know. You know, in all fairness to Boy George, who else would he appoint? All his friends cheat. So, you know, he can't help that. He can't help that. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Well, I was watching Condoleezza Rice on Charlie Rose last night, and I caught her in five lies. She was saying that Charlie Rose, she said that the U.S. wasn't going to pull out of, or was going to stay in Iraq forever. Oh, and Charlie Rose said, we're going to stay in Iraq forever. No, that's not what I said. We said we will pull out after the Iraqis get their defense together. And then in another lie, she says that the Iranians wasn't willing to talk to her. And I find it once again, but once again, Rice has always said they won't talk to the Iranians until they drop their nuclear program or whatever. Do you find this incredulous as usual?
Well, it's typical Condoleezza Rice. Typical. The head of the World Bank cheats and Condoleezza Rice lies. Okay. Business goes on as usual within the Bush White House. Thanks for your call, Michael.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Honest to God. It's honest to God. It's just every day there's something new. A judge, U.S. Magistrate James C. Fields IV, don't you know, made a ruling saying that in the city of New York, the city cannot prevent the public from seeing documents that describe the intelligence that police gathered to help them create policies for arrest at the 2004 Republican National Convention. In 2004, the Republicans arrested 1,800 people at the Republican convention. And people want to know, why the heck was I arrested? I want to see what y'all used as your decision-making to decide who you were going to arrest. The city said, oh, no, mind you, Republican mayor, the documents should remain confidential. Opening them would jeopardize the city's right to a fair trial. The Republican convention was policed by 10,000 police officers. 10,000 police officers. And more than 1,800 people were arrested at the four-day event at Madison Square Garden where Bush accepted his nomination for his second term in office. People want to know, what kind of thinking went behind the decision to arrest me? Most people are saying, my constitutional rights were violated. Oh, we're going to find out. Oh, man. The convention. Oh, Lord. 1-877-920-WGNU. Leslie.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
I listen every morning. You know, I'm not trying to defend Bush. I mean, granted, the guy really does say idiotic things. But in this case, you know, one thing I think that we have to remember is we really don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the remark he made with the wink, it could have been a private inside joke. But more so, you know, in the same way, what do you expect? He's a guy. And guys do that. It's kind of like guy humor.
But you know what, Leslie? I would say that all guys don't do that. I would say that good guys don't do that. I would say that professional guys don't do that. And particularly, it's one thing, Leslie, for guys to joke in the confines of their own home or even in a bar. But it's another thing to joke like or to say that that's a joke and to make that comment in front of cameras where the embarrassment possibilities have increased 1,000-fold. So I'm not denying the fact that men and women have jokes where they tease each other. My concern is that here you are, the president of, at least sitting in the office of the presidency, and when a guest comes to your home, you would never allow for the possibility of any question out there of you disparaging that person. And maybe it was a joke, but now it's been misinterpreted, has been misinterpreted, or could be misinterpreted, and you've put your guest at risk for that misinterpretation because you couldn't stop yourself from saying that in front of the cameras.
I agree 100%. I really think that he had this false sense of a comfort level in the situation to make the remark. I think that when he made it, he didn't really at the time, like you said, stop and think. I mean, a lot of it's self-control. But I don't think when he said it, he was thinking along those lines.
But isn't
well, first
that...
of all, it's because he's Bush.
But
I mean, the guy doesn't think before he speaks half the time.
And that's my point. That is the what you just said is the remarkable piece of it. And what I believe also should give rise to people's criticism of it, because there is no excuse for a guy that's been in the White House for almost 8 years to engage in that kind of unacceptable faux pas. It's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable, but the fact that he repeatedly does it, I think, removes away the remarkable element. You know, it's something that's become somewhat typical. And, you know, I really think that you're right. I mean, in the schools today, the kids aren't allowed to get away with that kind
exactly.
of joking
exactly.
and poking fun.
Exactly.
And the expectations of us in a society with, you know, what triggers people these days, you got to be careful.
And here's the other piece. I don't want to lower my standard because there's a clown in the White House. So I'm gonna keep my high standards and say, you know what? No, that's inappropriate because I'm not lowering my standards because this guy has none.
You know, one thing you do have to appreciate about the guy is the human element that he brings to all Americans. Because you know what? All Americans are idiots at one time or another.
Yeah, but then that would be the exception, not the rule.
I don't know about that. But, you know, at the same time, having a president like that, I think in a way kind of makes people feel a little bit more comfortable with themselves and with him. If we had a really strict, prim, proper, upright kind of guy, I think people feel uncomfortable in those situations.
Well, let me comment on that when I come back because I've got to take a break. But thank you for that, Leslie. Take care.
All right.
Listen, folks, I'll be back. Stay with me.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
The St. Louis Public Library presents the Touch of Paradise Polynesian Dance Group on Monday, May 14th at 6 p.m. The performance takes place at Central Library on Olive, and admission is free. The review will include dancers in authentic costumes, accompanied by live Polynesian music performed on instruments from the South Pacific. Light refreshments will be served following the performance. For more information, call 314-206-6779. Something for you from WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. You know, the comments made by Boy George about the age of the Queen of England, about her being about 300 or 200 years old, and then winking at her at a press conference. I think a caller called in to say that, you know, maybe we feel more comfortable. Some of us feel more comfortable with somebody that's a person in the White House that's expressing human fallibilities, human responses, and a comfort, you know, that he's not stiff and stodgy and prim and proper. I think that I would buy into that comfort level, that bumbling type of a comfort level, if I felt, and based upon the things that I have read, based upon the people that I've talked to, based upon the actions I've seen him engage in, if this was simply bumbling or a mean-spirited, careless disregard for anybody's feelings. The only people's feelings that you're concerned about is your own comfort level, that you want to be able to say what you want and when you want to say it. And people's feelings or concerns, make no never mind. And the things that I have read about the comments made by Boy George lead me to conclude that this isn't the affable, aw shucks type of guy. This is a boy that was born into a family with tons of money and tons of influence. This is a boy that has been exposed to all manner of people and place and opportunity his entire life. This isn't somebody that is engaging in behavior because he's just a down-home type of guy. from my perspective, from my study, from my observation, this is a guy that says, I don't give a doggone about what you feel. And if you read the comments that he makes to people all the time, he makes all of these, they call them, some people call them left-handed comments. But you walk away thinking, what, was I just insulted? Because I sure didn't think that that was funny. That is his cruel gift. It started in high school, and I talked about this within the context of the book Bush on the Couch, about comments that he would make to the only child of color at his school, called him chief, as an Indian chief. And when the young man confronted Boy George, which had to be a very, very, very brave thing to do, being the only person, being a child, confronted him about that, Boy George said, oh, okay, I'm sorry, didn't know. And then the next day he came up with another name that was just as awful as that, referring to his color. If you talk to people within the context of daily contact, or even read the things that he says to reporters, they're that comments that have that mean-spirited edge to them. They're cruel. So I don't interpret his so-called down-home turd blossom assessments of people in a comforting type of way. There is an element of cruelty that has been laced within throughout comments that he makes to reporters, comments that he makes to people, comments that he has made about people. It doesn't make me feel more comfortable with a dude that makes jokes. An affable type of guy makes jokes at his own expense, not at others. If he wanted to make a joke, he should have made a joke about how he didn't know where England was or couldn't spell it in front of God and everybody. Make that joke. You don't make jokes at other people's expenses. That's what your parents teach you. That's what your teachers teach you. That's what the world teaches you, unless you are a dude that thinks, oh, I don't think that there's anything wrong with being a dictator. Oh, being a dictator is wrong unless I get to be the dictator. His words, not mine. Not his joke, and certainly not my joke either. Mm-mm. He ain't bumbling. He's calculated and cruel. And that was a mean thing to say to a guest at your house in front of the world. And very few men in America are willing to insult a woman about her age. Very few men in America are willing to do that in front of God and or give the possibility of an insult. What you whisper behind in somebody's ear and wink and laugh about is one thing, because he sure could have said that in her ear. If it was a private joke, he made a private joke. If it was a private joke, he made a private joke public at her expense, and she didn't have an opportunity to respond to it. That ain't fair. That ain't right. That's cruel with a capital C. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Quickly, Pat.
I'm just curious to know what your thoughts are on the Obama scandal brewing. Channel 13 San Diego regards to Rush Limbaugh's comments, Obama the Magic Negro.
I played that a week and a half ago.
Okay.
I actually played the cut from that, and I thought it was, I don't know if it's an Obama scandal. I would say that it's a Rush Limbaugh scandal, given the fact that he originated it. I thought it was offensive.
Now, he did not originate it. It was actually in the L.A. Times.
Well, no, he played it on his show.
Right, so no, but it did not originate with him.
Well, if he played it on a show and it wasn't played anyplace else, where did it originate?
The L.A. Times. It was a writer in the L.A. Times. It was a commentary piece.
Who told the story of what Rush Limbaugh did?
No. This was long before that.
Okay.
All right.
And anyway, wait a minute, don't run away. Rush Limbaugh plays it on his show. And it doesn't originate with that. Okay, that's interesting. It was racist. I played it on the show, and lots and lots of emails, lots and lots of calls about it. It was racist. It was intolerable, and it was consistent with the racist ideology and belief of Rush Limbaugh. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The feds may have foiled an attack in the nick of time. The target, an army post in New Jersey. Six ethnic Albanians allegedly planning to storm Fort Dix armed with automatic weapons. Federal officials tell ABC News a group had been planning the attack for months and were eventually caught after they were lured into an FBI sting to buy AK-47s, a so-called homegrown fundamentalist allegedly intended to kill U.S. military personnel at Fort Dix during the assault. The FBI reportedly had been watching the group for almost a year, but decided to move in after they selected the target. Authorities in Greensburg, Kansas are scrambling to account for all of the town's 1,600 residents after Friday's tornado. At least 9 people are dead. The search for more victims will continue, meanwhile, as the cleanup begins.
A spokesman for the National Guard says it is capable of taking on the mission at hand, but they do concede that they are stretched thin. Particularly, there are Humvees, many of which are now in Iraq, that could be of use here in Greensburg, Kansas. The governor is concerned about what she feels is possibly a slow federal response, and she wants to talk personally to President Bush about it when he visits this area tomorrow.
ABC's Mike Von Fremd in Greensburg. He may not like white chai dinners too much, but the president and the first lady can sure throw one. They did last night for Britain's Queen Elizabeth.
Mr. President, I raise my glass to you and to Mrs. Bush, to the friendship between our two countries, and to the health, freedom, prosperity, and happiness of the people of the United States of America.
Well, today the Queen will be very busy visiting Goddard Space Flight Center in Washington, D.C., as well as the World War II Memorial and the National Children's Medical Center. Tonight she'll host the first couple for dinner at the British Embassy, and then she and Prince Philip head back to Britain. It's hot in California. It's really hot in parts of that state. Record highs were set yesterday in San Francisco, Oakland, and Santa Rosa. This is ABC News.
When your car or truck is ready for a set of new tires, sometimes your wallet's not. So what to do? Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for me.
Right now, when you use our genuine service credit card, you'll get no payments or interest until 2008 when you spend $150 or more. And we'll even beat your best price on tires, guaranteed. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. New tires, installed by Ford trained experts, with no payments or interest until 2008. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Hurry, offer ends June 30th. No payments and no interest if paid by January 2008. If not paid, interest accrues from purchase date. Variable APR is 23.99% as of 3107. Fixed APR 28.99% on all accounts in default. Minimum finance charge $1.50. Existing cardholders see current agreement for standard terms. Subject to credit approval by GE Money Bank. See participating dealer for details.
A study in the journal Health Affairs compares the mortality risks of taking common drugs to the risks related to everyday activities. You might be surprised how they stack up. Here's ABC's Aaron Kuchersky.
We do all sorts of things that carry a certain amount of risk. Riding in a car, scientists from Tufts New England Medical Center say, has an annual death risk of 11 per 100,000 people. That's about the same risk faced by men over 50 who take aspirin to prevent heart disease. The scientists found taking certain drugs is as risky as rock climbing or being a firefighter. They want patients and government regulators to change how they weigh the potential dangers and potential benefits of medicines. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
A South Korean boss has been ordered to pay a former employee more than $32,000 who says he forced her to go out for after-work drinks with the rest of the staff. The woman says they were often out until the early hours of the morning. That affected her health and the quality of her work. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brinsmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a Kirkwood teen is accused of threatening a couple. Police say 17-year-old Matthew Passig put a threatening letter in the family's mailbox, threatening to kill them if they did not pay a ransom. Passig allegedly made a follow-up phone call to give specifics on how the ransom would be delivered. Police traced Passig with fingerprint evidence at the scene, and he reportedly confessed after being questioned. A man has been charged in the murder of a Granite City resident. Police say 19-year-old Justin Feldman got into an argument on the phone with 50-year-old Ronnie Steffen on Sunday evening. The two hung up and met each other on the street where a fight broke out. Police say Feldman left Steffen unconscious on the side of the road. He was pronounced dead at a local hospital shortly after being found by police. Feldman was arrested at his Granite City home. Finally this hour, St. Louis teachers may be eligible for early retirement. As many as 1,000 teachers in the area could receive the incentive plan, but it is on hold right now. The school board had scheduled a vote on the plan, but the teachers' union protested because it had no say in its creation. Eligible teachers would have at least 15 years of experience and would be paid $45,000 over a five-year period. The district wants to reduce its staff because of declining enrollment in order to save money. The school board has agreed to include the teachers in the discussion of the plan. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic, especially in the left lanes. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Doherty Ferry, you've got some slow traffic going on there, especially around the 44 Exchange. Westbound 270 between 367 and West Florissant, stop and go to traffic due to an accident at West Florissant. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road, look for some slow traffic. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, you've got heavy volume, especially around the 270 interchange. Westbound 70 between O'Fallon Park and Shreve, look for an accident. It's clear to Shreve, expect delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing, look for delays there as well from mid-span on in. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270, look for slowdowns around the 270 exchange. Northbound 55 from Rivas Barracks through Loughborough, you've got delays. And northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow at this hour. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies this morning, then becoming partly cloudy, or partly into mostly cloudy this afternoon. Chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon with a high in the lower 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy. Showers and thunderstorms are possible, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much the same. Mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers on Wednesday with a high around 80. And Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers with a high around 80 as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 66 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 67. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me. There are many things that are going on in our world. Many of us are constantly transfixed by the stories that are coming out of Iraq. Relentless messages, relentless images, a relentless war forever and ever, amen, an occupation of a people. The thing that you don't get exposed to, the issue that you don't get exposed to, frequently or at all. When we hear about our numbers of 3,000 Americans, 3,000 plus Americans, the tens of thousand plus Americans that are suffering physically, 3,000 Americans who have died, the tens of thousands that are suffering physically, the thousands other that are not included in that 3,000 because they died on the plane on the way home, and therefore not counted as part of the combat dead. Despite all of that death that we are lightly exposed to in this country. Despite all of the suffering that we are lightly exposed to in this country of our own soldiers. Despite the discomfort and the disruption inflicted upon the families of our soldiers that we are lightly exposed to in this country, we are not exposed to with any kind of consistency, frequency, and in some cases at all, exposed to the suffering of those Iraqis who have to, long after soldiers' bodies are shipped off, back home. We don't often get an opportunity to see into what the Iraqis have to live with after we have left. So we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about Iraqi refugees. What is an Iraqi refugee? My guest will be Noah Merrill. He's a journalist and an activist. He's a member of the Religious Society of Friends, the Quakers. He has reported on, studied conflicts and peace, building efforts in Africa, Europe, Latin America. We're going to have this conversation this morning about Iraqis who have been forced to leave their country by chaos. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs, Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north to the south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Mercy. Oh,
they used to be lost.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Noel Merrill. He's a journalist, activist, and member of the Religious Society of Friends, the Quakers. He's joining us from Hartford, Connecticut, to talk about the Iraqi refugee crisis. Noah, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Thanks so much. It's an honor to be on your show.
It's great to have you here, Noah. You just returned from Jordan.
That's right. I was there for 6 weeks on this most recent trip, assessing the situation for Iraqi refugees who've been forced out of their homes by the violence in Iraq.
So talk to us about why Jordan, and what is the process of Iraqis being forced out of their country?
Well, Jordan and Syria are two countries in the Middle East, in the region surrounding Iraq, that have received the largest population of Iraqi refugees. Jordan is estimated at having a minimum of about 750,000 Iraqis, and Syria at about 1.2 million. And I would say those are pretty conservative estimates. The number, you know, the refugee flow began certainly under Saddam Hussein. I mean, it's not a new thing, but those numbers have climbed drastically ever since 2005 with the bombing of the mosque in Samarra, which is the event that's usually seen as the beginning of the real kickoff to the escalation of the sectarian violence in Iraq, or what's often painted as the Sunni Shia conflict. So those numbers have been climbing dramatically. Really, about 50,000 people are leaving Iraq now per month. It's taken 4 years for 2 million people to become displaced as refugees in the region, and the estimates are that at the current rates and the rising rates, that a million more will be displaced over the next year as a result of the chaos.
So you've had an opportunity to talk to some of these Iraqis, have you not?
I have. Yeah, I've conducted over 40 in-depth interviews during my time while I was there, and I certainly had the opportunity to meet informally in homes and in cafes context with others. Yeah.
What do you ask? What do they tell you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think one of the important things for me to try to understand was people's experience, not just as refugees, but as human beings more broadly, in terms of where they saw their experience of war, of the 13-year sanctions period, of the first Gulf War. Maybe some of them even when they tell their stories, they go back to the Iran-Iraq War in the 80s, and just sort of get a sense of how they see themselves as having arrived as refugees in Jordan. It's a difficult conversation to begin, certainly for an American, to have that conversation with folks. But I think over time, with a respectful attitude and with some relationship of trust, those conversations can be had.
So when you talk to them, what were some of the stories of the recent refugees? What were some of their stories?
I guess I don't want to take up too much of your listeners' time with some of these, but I'll just tell a couple. One of them, I'll tell a quick story of a woman named Muna, who was at the time of the war living in a city called Kut, which is southeast of Baghdad. Her husband was conscripted to fight against the Americans when they were invading Iraq. He never actually saw combat, but he was conscripted like most fighting men or most men of fighting age were. She was sent to live with her family, with her four brothers, her mother and her father, and her infant daughter. And just before the fall of Baghdad, a missile struck her house. Everyone else in her family was killed, and there were 10 pieces of shrapnel lodged in her body, including 3 in her brain.
Her baby was killed as well.
Her baby was also killed, yes. With the help of some neighbors and her extended family, she was able to go to Jordan to seek some better medical care because the health system in Iraq has collapsed so devastatingly. So now when I met Muna in the winter, it's very cold in Jordan, and I met her in February. She was living in a little basement room with the walls covered in mold in a neighborhood where the Jordanian kids called her the Beast, because at night she would have these epileptic seizures and she would scream because of the pain. And so they had these stories about how she would turn into a monster. But Muna is one of the sadder stories of the people who I met, whose lives and whose bodies and whose relationships have been destroyed as a result of the war. So many of the people, they come, like Muna, seeking health care. They come seeking some kind of hope for a better future. For others, they come as the result of the destruction of their family through whether it's kidnapping, other kinds of random violence, death threats, as a result of drawing the anger of one or other of the various groups, whether through association with the U.S. or through association with the wrong political party. It's really difficult to describe the number of different cases of ways that Iraqis have found themselves in danger as a result of the ongoing chaos and violence that the occupation has created.
Well, I have been to Sudan and I have seen refugee camps in Sudan. Talk to us about the physical layout of these camps. Are they in a place where there is a fence around them? Are they confined to certain areas and they can't move either by location of the camps? How does Jordan absorb this many refugees?
Yeah, that's a really interesting issue. By and large, the vast majority of Iraqis who have fled their country are not living in camps. As a matter of fact, they're living really invisibly below the radar. Most of them have come to Jordan, to Syria, to these other countries on temporary visas. So they're basically living like anybody else would be living in those countries, except that they're often in much more dire situations. So the vast majority of Iraqis who've come to Jordan, for example, are living in the poorest neighborhoods, in the poorest housing. They're often living in what are still Palestinian refugee camps, which if you're not familiar, now look basically like neighborhoods. They have cement block houses, and they're integrated in some ways with the rest of the city there.
How ironic is that?
Yeah, I think that's something that may people may not realize, is that this massive ongoing displacement of Iraqis is being overlaid on top of the millions of Palestinians whose families were displaced as a result of the still unresolved Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So it's sort of a double crisis that the countries in the Middle East are having to deal with in terms of displacement of people. But these refugees who are not actually, most of them, officially recognized as refugees by the international community, are basically having to live much in the way that undocumented immigrants have to live in different countries in the world. As a matter of fact, a spokesman for the Jordanian government a few months ago said informally to Human Rights Watch, when Human Rights Watch was doing an assessment of the situation, that Jordan didn't have a refugee problem; they had an illegal immigrant problem.
Mm.
Which given the stigma and the oppression that people experience when they're labeled as illegal immigrants, you can imagine being a refugee on top of that and fleeing the suffering in Iraq. How difficult that is for people to handle.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this morning with Noah Merrill. He's a journalist, activist, and member of the Religious Society of Friends, also known as the Quakers. He's joining us from Hartford, Connecticut, and we're talking about the Iraqi refugees. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. There's an accident. Right lane's blocked. It's the entrance ramp to West Florissant. Look for stop-and-go traffic there. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through Doherty Ferry. You've got slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason. look for some slowdowns there, but everything is running in pockets at this hour. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, heavy volume, especially around the 270 exchange. Gravoy at Little Brennan Road, there's a report of an accident. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slowdowns. Westbound 64 from the Bow Avenue into the 5570 split, look for some delays. Westbound 70 at O'Fallon Park in Shreve, look for an accident. It's cleared, but you can expect slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for heavy volume there. Northbound 55 from Rivas Barracks through Loughborough, look for some slowdowns. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, is slow at the top of the ramp. And northbound 270 from Dorset through 70, look for slowdowns around the 70 exit lanes. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s this evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high around 80. And Thursday, pretty much a mirror image. Mostly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. We have 67 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 69. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station where the issues matter most to you.
In honor of the 82nd birthday and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out, join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m., and we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
The Shaw Nature Reserve presents its spring wildflower sale on Saturday from 9 to 4. This event is free and open to the public. The reserve offers a wide selection of native plants, ferns, trees, and shrubs for enhancing your home landscape. The reserve is located off I-44 at exit 253 in Gray Summit, west of St. Louis. Only cash and checks are accepted. Find out more by calling 636-451-3512, extension 7075, or visit shawnature.org. Something for you from AM 920.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams.
Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to Noah Merrill. He's a journalist, activist, and member of the Religious Society of Friends, also known as the Quakers. He's joining us from Hartford, Connecticut, and he's talking to us about Iraqi refugees. And Noah, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
One of the things that you mentioned before our break was this idea that the hundreds of thousands, millions of Iraqi refugees are not recognized as refugees. What defines a refugee, and are they entitled to certain things as a result of that, and who gets to make that definition?
Right. Yeah. Thanks. That's an important question. The according to international law, a refugee is a person who's been forced to cross a border of a country as a result of violence, forced out of their country. So there are, you know, say 1.9 million people who've been forced out of their homes inside Iraq who are called internally displaced people. They're not called refugees. It's just the 2 million plus who've been forced across the Iraqi border into other countries who actually would qualify as refugees. The problem is that then those people have to actually be recognized by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, what they call UNHCR, in order for them to receive services and support. And they're entitled to a number of rights. The most basic right they're entitled to as a refugee is not to be forced back into a country or a place where they would fear persecution or have a credible fear of violence. Unfortunately, that's a right that most Iraqis who have been forced across the border don't enjoy. Many Iraqis who've been displaced in the region are being deported back to Iraq, placing them in grave danger because they're not recognized. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, hasn't been, with very few exceptions, has not been conducting new determinations for refugees since 2003 when the war began.
Why?
I think there are a few reasons. One of the reasons that they stated is that Iraq, you know, that they believed it would be a short war, and so they didn't want to scatter Iraqis throughout the world and create a large refugee population that would then not be able to return so easily to Iraq. I think that some people can debate about whether that was a credible statement at the beginning, but it certainly, as the years went by and as it became clear this is going to get worse and worse and worse, it is pretty questionable that they didn't start new determinations actually until. During the time that I was there, they were open in Jordan doing new determination for refugees for about 3 weeks, and then they stopped doing that again under pressure from the Jordanian government. So there hasn't been a significant refugee determination processing effort in Jordan up to this point.
Well, how political is it? Does it reflect poorly upon the United States or this administration? If there is a determination of refugee status, does it reflect poorly on Jordan? Why would Jordan stop the UN from making this assessment?
Yeah, well, I think it reflects poorly certainly on both. I mean, we have to acknowledge that Jordan and Syria have been the most welcoming of any of the countries in the Middle East. They have the largest populations, and they initially were very welcoming, but as this number is climbing and climbing, they have a very real fear of not being able to support this many people. So, I mean, for Jordan, for example, Jordan has a population of somewhere around 6 million people before a million Iraqis have come. You imagine if 1 in 7 people in the United States was suddenly a refugee from another country, the impact that would have on the basic services, on the ability to provide clean water to people, on the economy. The cost of housing in Jordan has tripled in the last few years as a result of the new people in the population. So Jordan has some real concerns about this huge population of refugees. And again, from the Palestinian experience, somewhere between 50 and 70% of the Jordanian population, it's difficult to estimate, is already Palestinian refugees.
So if they are deemed to be refugees, then Jordan has to do what?
Well, Jordan would have responsibilities. Theoretically, Jordan would have responsibilities under international law to provide care for them, to protect them, not to return them. And you'd see this massive humanitarian aid effort that you are starting to see in very small ways as this is getting more recognition. Certainly on the side of the United States, it's deeply embarrassing to think that the United States has invaded the country and occupied it in the name of democracy, and what they've done is create the fastest growing refugee crisis in the world. This is a deep embarrassment to people who are promoting the policy in Iraq. With the total chaos that Iraq is experiencing, it's pretty clear that regardless of the crimes committed by Saddam Hussein's regime, Iraqis are not better off. It's embarrassing to say, well, now Iraq is a democracy, but you don't normally expect to have millions of refugees desperately fleeing
a democracy. A democracy. Is there any indication, Noah, that pressure has come from other places other than Jordan not to make a determination of these Iraqis as refugees?
I can't necessarily speculate about that. But what I can imagine is, and I know that it did take a very very long time for this to get recognized. And I think that may have to do with the lack of very few useful options. The Jordanian government, if there were to be a very very powerful humanitarian response. Millions of dollars being pumped into Jordan to care for these people. The way that these things work is that there would be reasons for more people to come. And Jordan is really concerned about another large population in its country. I mean, Jordan is a poor country to begin with. And they have, if you were to make a list of the top 10 countries in the world with water shortage problems, Jordan would be on that list. Mm. So they have, enough fears of their own. But it certainly doesn't help that no one has offered to help up until this point. Until very, very recently when there was the UNHCR had an international conference on the refugee crisis in April, there had been very little international discussion about this. The U.S. certainly bears an enormous share of this responsibility, I would say essentially the whole responsibility, but it hasn't up until this time been very supportive. The most recent offer, as far as I'm aware, the most recent concrete offer was that the U.S. said it would expand its policy and accept 7,000 Iraqi refugees into the United States. I should say that as of February when I went, since the war began, the U.S. had accepted 466 Iraqi refugees.
That's it,
466 since the war began.
And
7,000 is a lot, but it's nothing compared with, it's just less than 1% of the minimum estimate of Iraqis only in Jordan.
And we still haven't even gotten 7,000.
Right. Actually, very, very few of those people, if any of them actually have, I haven't received any information that any of those people have been resettled yet. Immediately after they announced the 7,000 figure, they revised it and said really by the end of the year, it looks like only 3,500 of those people would be ready to move, and those people would still have to wait pending security clearance. Just to put that in context, I have an Iraqi friend who did have refugee status. He's been waiting for security clearance for 4 years to come to the United States.
Mm. Now, for an Iraqi that traveled across the border via a visa into Jordan, is it possible to seamlessly integrate oneself into the Jordan society? How difficult, how much of a challenge is that?
Are they bringing money with them? Do they look like Jordanese? I mean, because we deal with those things here in the United States. How does that happen?
Yeah, you know, Iraqis, some of the Iraqis who came first to Jordan had quite a bit of money. You know, and there are a number of quite wealthy Iraqis, a lot of people who were associated with the former regime and others. But as people are coming now, poorer and poorer people, or people with fewer and fewer resources, are getting out of Iraq. The poorest folks, of course, are still trapped inside Iraq, because in order to leave, you have to have some resources. And what we see is that a lot of the people who are refugees are people who had some resources to be able to make the trip, and often they're middle-class folks, they're professionals, and I interviewed families of, you know, where the husband and wife were both doctors, but they just didn't have any resources. They couldn't practice their profession where they were. So it's another way that the refugees are a little different than we might imagine.
Are there language barriers?
You know, Iraqi Arabic and Jordanian Arabic are quite different. Certainly people can understand each other. And many of the Iraqis I met with they would say that they were speaking Jordanian Arabic. Mm-hmm. They were speaking with a Jordanian accent, mm-hmm. In order to disguise the fact that they were Iraqi. But if you listen to a conversation in Iraqi Arabic and a conversation in Jordanian Arabic, it's quite noticeable. And there are differences. You know, people can tell. But for a person who doesn't speak Arabic, for a person who's not from the Arab world, you know, the differences can be hard to make out for us, certainly not for Jordanians and for Iraqis. So there are a lot of barriers to integration.
Oh, we're taking a break. I'm talking to Noah Merrill, journalist, activist, and a member of the Religious Society of Friends, the Quakers. He's joining us from Hartford, Connecticut. We're talking about Iraqi refugees. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with us. But have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone. You can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden, and take your vitamins.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
In honor of the 82nd birthday, and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out. Join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m.
and we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this morning with Noah Merrill, journalist, activist, and member of the Religious Society of Friends, the Quakers. He's joining us from Hartford, Connecticut, and we're talking about an inside look at life for Iraqi refugees. I'm going to get to a caller here. Lori Reed, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm outstanding. So, Lori, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to mention that the St. Louis American Friends Service Committee is sponsoring an event. Noah Merrill is on tour, and this is the Midwest leg of his tour, and he's going to be speaking at Webster University at 3 p.m. at the Emerson Library Conference Room about these issues.
And that's on Saturday, May 12th?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Saturday, May 12th. That's this Saturday?
Yep.
That's this Saturday at Webster at 3 p.m., and that's 101 Eager Road in Webster Groves, Missouri. Edgar Road.
Yes, ma'am.
And the number where people can call for more information about this, Lori?
314-862-5773, extension 12.
And, Lori, how important is this, and why did the your organization feel that it was important to bring Noah here to St. Louis?
Well, as you know, American Friends Service Committee is a Quaker organization, and we are pro-peace. I've stopped saying anti-war. I'm trying to call up what we want. And a lot of our work has focused on what the effects of this war have been. And there's so many complex effects, far-reaching effects, like the refugee crisis that Noah's speaking about. And so one of our signature events that has toured the country is Eyes Wide Open. And the concept of Eyes Wide Open is if we are going to be a society that I won't even say supports this war, but doesn't do everything that we can to bring this war to an end, we need to have our eyes wide open and look at the impact of it.
And talking about the issue of peace, and Noah, talk to us about the Palestinian School of Nonviolence.
You know, some of the work that I have had the opportunity to do with the American Friends Service Committee in the past, and I'm grateful for this opportunity, is to look at these issues more broadly across the Middle East in terms of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, as well as the conflict in Iraq and some of those other issues. And I think one of the issues that we don't talk about, you know, we hear about all the violence, we hear about all of the these very kind of distorted images of sort of the worst side of human nature that gets shown throughout these conflicts in different parts of the world, and certainly in the Middle East. And one of the things we don't hear about is all the efforts that are underway to use nonviolent tactics, much like many of the great leaders, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, and others have used. And I think one of the things that that I've seen in my work in the Middle East is that there are deep experiences of what we would call nonviolent action in the Palestinian society, certainly in Iraq, that don't often get covered. What we see is the violent side of things, but the struggle to overcome injustice and occupation and suffering through nonviolent means is very much alive in the Middle East, certainly in the Palestinian and Israeli context, as well as in Iraq.
And when we and Lori, could you tell us one more time when Noah will be speaking on an inside look at life for Iraqi refugees?
Noah will be speaking at 3 p.m. at the Emerson Library at Webster University. The address is 101 Edgar Road in Webster Groves, Missouri, and the number for more information, 314-862-5773, extension 12.
And this is free?
It's absolutely free.
Absolutely free.
Now, perhaps Noah can talk more about donations being accepted for relief for those refugees who are suffering.
Very good. Thank you very much, Lori.
Thanks, Liz.
Take care.
You too.
And Noah, talk to us about that part of it.
Sure. Well, one of the projects that is being organized through the news and analysis website that I write for, and if you don't mind, I'll just mention the website. It's called Electronic Iraq, and it's at www.electronicirock.net. That's all one word. And one of the projects that we're undertaking is something we're calling a direct aid initiative, which is to try to get some direct support between American families and Iraqi families who've been displaced, who've been made refugees as a result of the violence. And people who attend that talk will have the opportunity, if they'd like, to make a contribution that can go directly to supporting some of the needs of Iraqi families who are there. And I'll talk more about how that works on that day.
And have you heard of, are you familiar with River Girl, the blogger from Iraq?
Riverbend. Yeah.
I'm sorry, yes.
Absolutely. She's done some great work in terms of bringing the experiences of Iraqis out into the Western world, into the English-speaking world.
And it's my understanding that the violence has gotten so bad in Iraq that she's having to shut down her blog.
She has. She's had to leave. And I think that's the experience of a number of the most articulate Iraqi bloggers. You know, some people may not be aware that one of the ways that Iraqis have tried to bring their voices out and to reach people across the divides, the walls of ignorance and violence and geography, is to use online blogs, weblogs, where they write about their experiences. Riverbend has been really at the forefront of that. I think it's a real tragedy that she's no longer going to be able to reach people from inside Iraq with those stories. But it's a reflection. You know, she's been powerfully committed to bringing the stories and experiences that, you know, that come out of her life, her family, and her community into the Western world. And so it's a real sad thing that she's had to go. I'm glad that she's going to be safe, but I know that it's a real loss for all of us. One of the things, just really quickly on the subject of Iraqi bloggers, the Electronic Iraq Project is really dedicated to trying to bring out some of those voices, some of the diverse experiences of Iraqis, and it's an enormously diverse country. There are all kinds of different viewpoints, and an enormous depth of history in the country that we just don't understand. And so one of the things we're trying to do is to bring out those voices, to highlight some of those bloggers, some of the new fiction that's being written inside Iraq, some of the new, you know, some video that's coming out. So just so that people can get a sense of, you know, this is the people who are suffering immensely, but it's a rich and a diverse culture. You know, even with all of their suffering, Iraqis are more than the occupation and more than the violence. I think we need to understand that.
And you talked interviewed in depth over 40 Iraqi refugees. Do they harbor anger towards the United States, anger towards this administration? How do they feel about the United States?
Yeah, I think one of the things that it's really important to understand, and one of the things that continues to amaze me, is that no matter how many times I talk to Iraqis, they still, after all of this time, they still make a distinction between the American people and the American government. And they say, you know, they would say to me, we know that the American people don't want us to be suffering. And we know that this has to do with the decisions of political leaders.
Noah Merrill, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And if you want to hear some more of what Noah's experience has been in Jordan, you need to get on out to Webster this Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Emerson Library Conference Room. That's room 101, Edgar Road,
Edgar Road at Webster Groves. For more information, you can call 862-5773, extension 12. That's 862-5773, extension 12, and ask for Lori Reed. Noah, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the wake-up call.
Thank you very much, Liz. It's an honor.
Peace. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. In the next hour, we're going to be talking politics. We're going to be talking progressive Democrats politics. We're going to be talking with the president of Progressive Democrats. Tim Carpenter is going to be joining me this morning on the air to talk about, progressive Democrats, what's up with his brand new Democratic majority Congress, House, Senate. Good news? Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? We're going to be talking about that this morning with the Progressive Democrats of America. That's PDA to y'all. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the break. Stay with me.
Revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Foiled in the nick of time, ABC's Aaron Katursky has details on a half dozen arrests in an alleged plot to attack an army post.
Six men were arrested after authorities say they tried to buy automatic weapons for an attack on Fort Dix, an army training center in New Jersey. The gun dealer was an FBI informant who had agreed to sell the men Russian-style assault rifles. The men are said to be homegrown fundamentalists of Yugoslav and Albanian origin. Authorities have been watching these guys for about a year. They decided to move in when the group selected a target, but it seems no operation was underway. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Most residents of Greensburg, Kansas say they'll come back even if the place was flattened by a tornado. City Administrator Steve Hewitt says they'll be busy.
We're going to search and rescue. We're going to recovery efforts will be continue on, and we're going to also try to build our build our infrastructure back up.
At least nine people were killed. President Bush visits tomorrow. Britain's Queen Elizabeth wraps up her visit with a full schedule of stops in and around Washington, D.C. Last night, Her Majesty was the guest of honor at a White House state dinner.
It was an evening of diamond tiaras, champagne toasts, and just a touch of royal diplomacy.
But talk we will. Listen we have to. Disagree from time to time we may. But united, we must always remain.
132 guests rose to clink glasses. Among them, jockey Calvin Burrell, fresh from his Kentucky Derby win. He pronounced it all awesome. Now that's American royalty. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
It feels more like August than it does May in parts of California. Record highs were set in San Francisco, Oakland, and in Santa Rosa yesterday. This woman went looking for relief at a hardware store.
I am buying three fans because I have a very hot house and bad, what's the word I'm looking for? Bad insulation, so I need them.
This is ABC News.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for me.
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by board-trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
What if I told you I could make your acne disappear and leave you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all the acne promises out there, you're skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a risk-free 60-day trial of a remarkable product called Proactive Solution. Proactive was developed by dermatologists for you to use at home without spending hundreds of dollars on doctor visits. To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution, just call 1-800-550-2238. Call 1-800-550-2238 for your risk-free trial. 1-800-550-2238.
You need a hands-free device to make a cell phone call while you're driving in most states, and now police are dealing with a different problem. People text messaging while driving. They say teens do it most often, and it's causing more traffic accidents than ever. It was a surprise, not to mention stunning archaeological find. Here's ABC's Daniela Bellotta.
The tomb of King Herod, the legendary builder of ancient Jerusalem, is said to have been found by an Israeli archaeologist. Hebrew University says the discovery was made by one of its professors at a site called Herodium, a flattened hilltop in the Judean desert. During his rule, Herod built a wall around Jerusalem that still stands and a palace on the hill. It has long been assumed he was buried there, but decades of excavations failed to find his tomb. Herod died in 4 BC in Jericho. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
Drug addiction is more common than you probably think. A government study says 1 in 10 adults abuses or gets hooked on marijuana, cocaine, amphetamines, or other substances at some point in their life, but only a small percentage seeks treatment. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Panther Furrenschmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a task force has been formed to find a missing area child. Christian Ferguson was 9 years old when he disappeared from the SUV his father was driving in June of 2003. Police Chief Joe Mokwa says the new law enforcement task force will consist of a sergeant, 2 detectives, 2 FBI agents, and a command officer. Mokwa says that the Sean Hornbeck case gave people a renewed sense of hope that Christian could be found. A St. Louis teenager is dead after his go-kart was struck by a school bus. 15-year-old Damarian Patterson was riding the go-kart on Sunday while it was being pulled by a friend's minibike. The minibike ran a red light and was struck by the bus at St. Louis Avenue in Union. The 17-year-old minibike driver and the bus driver suffered minor injuries. Finally this hour, a St. Louis vocalist has been invited to perform for Queen Elizabeth. The Queen has asked Denise Times to perform at the British Embassy this evening. Times will also get a chance to meet Prince Philip, President George W. Bush, First Lady Laura Bush, and other dignitaries. The British ambassador's wife had seen her perform at the Kuwait embassy a few months ago and personally recommended Times. She will be back in St. Louis for a Mother's Day concert at the Sheldon. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Furrenschmeyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Spady. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. Right lane's blocked as on the ramp to Spady. Westbound 270 from Lilac through West Florissant. Look for an accident's clear to West Florissant. Look for stop-and-go traffic there. Northbound 270 from Gravelway through Doherty Ferry. Look for slowdowns there. Southbound 270 from 70 through Dorset. Look for delays there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays, especially in the left lane. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving slowly into the landing. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, expect slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, you've got slow traffic there. Eastbound Gravelway at Little Brennan, there's an accident, left lane's blocked, and traffic slows for about a mile. Northbound 55 from Revis Barracks through Loughborough, look for some delays there as well. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp on the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, look for slowdowns around the 70 exit lanes, and 64 from 25th into the 5570 merge, look for delays. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly sunny this morning, mostly cloudy by the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon with a high in the lower 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy. Another chance for showers and thunderstorms, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy. Both days, chances of showers and thunderstorms both days with a high in the 80s on Wednesday and a high in the 80s on Thursday as well. Currently we have 69 degrees, cloudy skies, Lambert Fields reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your Traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. We will be hooking up with the head of the Progressive Democrats of America, Tim Carpenter, in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk about where we are and what we are doing and what is going on in this world that we live in right now. There are extraordinary stories coming down out of Washington, D.C. that gives rise to some, I don't know, is it consistency? Is it what we expect it to be? Does it come as any surprise? And is whether or not we're surprised really the measure of the significance of any story that's coming down at us? 1-877-920-WGNU. Clifford, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I wanted to make a comment on the Iraq situation.
Sure.
It's sort of like when Bush and them went into Iraq, you know, they said, I done got stalemated on my situation, you know. But basically, what I'm calling about, you know, is, I think, I was looking at Channel 9 last night at, Charlie Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And, Condoleezza Rice was his guest, you know, well, at the, she was speaking with him from the White House. And, she was saying that they aren't going to get out of Iraq, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they have anything to do with it, they're not going to get, out of Iraq.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay, but I really forgot what my point was going to be. I'm going to have to start writing it down. You know? Thanks a lot, Leah.
All right, you take care.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Stay with me. Vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405 and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden, and take your vitamins.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
In honor of the 82nd birthday, and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out, join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. And we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Of Africans chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, pick the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums. For the millions, for the millions.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just wanted to tell you about something that I found out about the federal financial aid services for graduating students. I had no idea that only the birth parents could fill out applications for their children so that they could receive financial aid from the federal government. I have had my granddaughters since birth. They're coming out this year. Both of them are straight-A students. I was told that because I only have legal guardianship since age two, that they will not qualify for any federal financial aid.
Well, why can't you just go and adopt them?
Well, as the paternal grandmother, you know, who would think that, you know, you need to adopt your own grandchildren. I would think that they're trying to keep children out of the system.
Okay.
And you would think that children that are going to school, excelling in school, and show that they want to learn and be something, that our federal government that we pay our taxes to would sort of promote that.
Well, okay. But I want to talk to you about an immediate solution for your children right now, your grandchildren
well,
right now.
Well, I've solved my problem.
Okay.
But like I said, I didn't know that that was the law. This
okay.
is an act of Congress.
Mm.
So how many other grandmothers that have legal guardianship, I have the legal right to take care of any medical needs, anything other than apply for federal aid for some students that are trying to do something?
Okay, I
it's
feel
It's amazing
you.
To me, and a lot of people don't know that. So I pretty much wanted to put it out there for you grandparents that are raising your grandchildren, foster parents. You have nothing coming either.
I appreciate that.
Okay,
appreciate
thank you, Liz.
Thank
have a
you.
Good day.
You take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. you need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU or always email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Or how about this? If you've missed an hour, I encourage you to go get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. If you missed your hour, go ahead on, get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. And also, remember that the show is broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. So any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me at 1-877-920-WGNU or check us out on the web at www.wgnu.net. I am just looking at some of the issues that are impacting us as a country. I am looking at some of the stories that are pushing us. And what I am seeing here is movement. I'm not certain yet of what kind of movement. I'm not certain yet of how much movement. I'm not certain yet of the impact of this movement. But there are stories that are coming in out of all places, the New York Times, about anti-war groups having large influence on the Democratic Party. Every morning, representatives from a cluster of anti-war groups gather for a press conference with Democratic leadership and their staff members in the House and the Senate. Shortly after these phone calls, they convene for a call with organizers across the country. They hash out plans for rallies. They sketch out talking points. They discuss polls they have conducted in several dozen crucial congressional districts and states across the country. The issue is whether or not the Democratic majority in the House would rather this be a discussion, a general discussion, as opposed to a specific demand, if you will. But whatever they want, here's what is happening. It's no longer a symbolic issue within the Democratic Party due to the actions and the impact and the relentlessness of anti-war groups. Because there are groups like Americans Against Escalation in Iraq. There's the Out of Iraq Now Caucus. Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid are trying to put together a strategy with their own memberships and also take into consideration, not more than take into consideration, but factor in what the people are saying, the people that sent them, their majority. In fact, MoveOn.org has sent this warning to Democratic leadership. And I quote, "In the past few days, we have seen what appear to be trial balloons signaling a significant weakening of the Democratic position. On this, we want to be perfectly clear. If the Democrats appear to capitulate to Bush, passing a bill without measures to end the war, the unity Democrats have enjoyed and Democratic leadership has so expertly built will immediately disappear." That's from the friends of the Democrats. The letter went on to say that if Democrats passed a bill without a timetable and with all five months of funding, they would essentially be endorsing a war without end. Move On said it will move to a position of opposition. Mm. Mm. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 40 from 270 through Spady, look for an accident right lane that's on the ramp to Spady. Expect stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from Lilac through West Florissant, there's an accident that's been cleared around West Florissant. Look for stop-and-go traffic there as well. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Doherty Ferry, you've got delays. Eastbound Gravois at Little Brennan Road, look for an accident. Left lane's blocked and traffic slows for about a mile. Northbound 270 from Clayton through Ladue, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road, you've got slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, look for slow traffic in the 70 exit lanes. Westbound 64 from 25th through 5570 merge, look for slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank in the landing, look for some delays. And westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some slowdowns as well. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for delays there too. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly sunny this morning, mostly cloudy by the afternoon, chance of showers and thunderstorms, high in the lower 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning with a chance of showers and a high around 80. And Thursday, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy, another chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high around 80 as well. Currently, we have 71 degrees, cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 73 in clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
In honor of the 82nd birthday and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth, UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out. Join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Lindell Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. And we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the wake up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. We're going to be talking to Progressive Democrats of America, Tim Carpenter, the director of Progressive Democrats of America. My goodness, I'm looking at this article coming out of the New York Times today about the new clout that anti-war groups have with the Democrats, the new clout that they have. I love this statement that is has been sent out by the head of, or at least the Washington director for MoveOn.org, Tom Massey. He said, and this is a letter sent to the leadership in the Democratic Party. In the past few days, we have seen what appeared to be trial balloons signaling a significant weakening of the Democratic position. On this, we want to be perfectly clear. If Democrats appear to capitulate to Bush, passing a bill without measures to end the war, the unity Democrats have enjoyed and Democratic leadership has so expertly built will immediately disappear. Headline, New York Times, with new clout, anti-war groups push Democrats. Let's talk about the pushback on the Democratic majority in the United States House and Senate this morning. We're going to have that conversation with the co-founder and director of Progressive Democrats of America, Tim Carpenter, joining us from Phoenix. Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
We're having the time of our lives, keeping busy.
So, this letter from MoveOn.org, the Democrats appear to capitulate. The leadership, the unity that they have enjoyed will immediately disappear. Talk to us about the impact of the anti-war, get out of Iraq now movement on this new Democratic majority.
Well, it's an interesting time in Washington. As you know, we did pass benchmarks and a timeline in the House, and through the conference committee, that bill went up to the president. He vetoed it. Now we're told that the Democratic leadership is going to roll back. In fact, Move On really hadn't worked with the real anti-war movement in a sense that they never supported our efforts to get a vote to get us out of Iraq by the end of the year.
Isn't that interesting?
And now here they are. So I think we're seeing some unity in the peace and justice movement, which is a good sign. But unfortunately, we're seeing some more rollback on the Democratic leadership side. So it's a very serious time for all of us.
And so talk to us about what should happen and how the Democrats are how the Democratic leadership is responding to this. First of all, what should happen?
Well, we need to continue to press our congressional members to remind them that a majority of Americans this past election season voted to end the occupation and to bring our troops home by the end of the year. We need to continue to resonate with that message and really organize and mobilize around that. The House has more than the Senate moved in that direction. The challenge currently now is when the House and Senate meet in regards to the supplemental, it seems as if the discussion now is for a 45-day funding, as you were mentioning earlier, for the supplement to move forward. At the same time, we have the defense authorization and appropriations vote coming up in July. So we're really on a two-track basis. While Congress will continue to find a funding proposal to move this war forward, we have to be just as aggressive to remind them that not one more nickel, not one more dime. The troops home now. We want to see an end of the occupation. We want a safe, full return of all of our troops and all of the funding directed at that measure.
What is the public sentiment out here? How can we measure it in terms of the public's position on out of Iraq now?
Well, every poll indicates, as you know well, that every American has made it clear, a majority of Americans, they want this occupation to end. President Bush's popularity and his ratings are lower than any modern-day president.
28%.
28%. And I like to kind of flip that the other way and remind people that 64% opposed to the president. Mm. So we have the people. The question is we need to find a Congress with the fortitude, the courage, and the backbone, most importantly the spine, to move forward to get us out of this occupation. I guess, Liz, the short answer is we need to continue to organize and mobilize within our congressional districts to let our members know. And beginning on May 14th, Cindy Sheehan will be leading an effort in Washington to really just swarm Congress. Code Pink also has been very involved in just keeping the message of the anti-war peace movement alive in Washington. And we need to just intensify our voices and intensify our presence in our communities and in Washington.
And also, let's talk about for a second, Tim, what seems like, what looks like, what smells like political calculation going on the part of the Democratic Party from the perspective of, if we keep this war, if we don't resolve this war issue, we'll have an issue to roll into 2008 elections with.
Well, I think there's truth in that, Liz. As you know, Rahm Emanuel, congressmember from Chicago, who led the DLC in the last election, the DCCC, in the last election cycle, has been quoted as saying just that. I think a lot of the frustration has been pointed at Speaker Pelosi, but I honestly think in reality she's been doing more reaching out than the other members of the leadership. I do think that Rahm Emanuel and Steny Hoyer, Congressman Steny Hoyer, should feel the heat, should feel the street heat from the peace movement, and we should really set our sights on letting them hear from us. We do need to remember we have advocates on the Hill, beginning with the Progressive Caucus. Co-chairs Barbara Lee and Lynn Wolseley have been strong voices for us, as has Maxine Waters, the chair of the Out of Iraq Caucus. So when you talk about the Democratic leadership, we need to remember that the Democratic Party by no means is a monolith, that there are progressive voices in there. That's what Progressive Democrats of America was founded in, the belief that we need to reach out and support those members. There's 71 of them in Congress. Barbara Lee, as I said, has shown incredible leadership. So I think I would really encourage the listeners to really make sure that Rahm Emanuel and Steny Hoyer hear from the Progressive Democrats that we're going to challenge them, not just during this vote on the vote in Iraq and the funding for Iraq, we're going to be organized and mobilized through this year and into the election year cycle. We're going to challenge some of these centrist Democrats and some of these pro-war Democrats in the next election cycle. Again, that's what Progressive Democrats of America was founded on, and I think increasingly more and more people will be willing to help and engage in that. We're in a real fight for the heart and soul of our party.
And I was thinking back because I had a conversation with Code Pink last week, and they were talking about this May 14th event coming up. And they were sharing the extraordinary pressure that was put upon Democrats to get this vote on this particular bill at this time, that some Democrats were talking to them with tears in their eyes about the extraordinary pressure put on them by Pelosi et al. Not to stick with the Out of Iraq caucus, or not to stick with the Progressive caucus and to give their vote to this bill right now. Where do we stand on that? I mean, has the pressure gotten worse? What do we need to do to make certain that the people that capitulated, my congressperson capitulated on that, Lacey Clay voted for this bill after telling us that he was not going to vote for this bill. What do we do?
Well, first of all, in regards to Lacey Clay, you do need to just step back for a little bit and thank him for co-sponsoring H.R. Resolution 333, the impeachment of Dick Cheney. So there's some good there. Mm-hmm. But, yes, those are the members that surprised us the most. And you talk about new members like Congressman Keith Ellison
yeah.
in Minnesota,
yeah.
Congressmember John Hall up in New York, and somebody who we work very closely with is Raul Grijalva, Congressman Grijalva from Tucson, who was part of those two votes to pull it over. But he's made it very clear now that if the new supplemental bill does not have the benchmarks or the timelines, it can't vote for it. We need to go back to Congressman Clay. We need to go back to Congressman Ellis. We need to go back to Congressman Grijalva and say, you got the vote. We got the headlines. We showed the American public that the Democratic Party, unlike the Republican Party, wants to bring an end to this occupation. You can't win an occupation. We've already demonstrated that now in the first vote. Now, as you said, we've got to get back to the real work. We've got to cut off the funding, and we have the money to bring our troops home safely. We need to go back to Congressman Clay and say that was then, this is now. We need you to stand with the majority of Americans and with the Progressive Caucus, Congresswoman Barbara Lee and Lynn Woolsey, and vote against any supplemental bill that comes back to you that does not have a timeline or enforceable benchmarks in it. It's time to resonate that message. We have to, just as Code Pink said to you, I'm sure when you talked to them last week, we need to increase our pressure, just as Robert Emanuel and Steny Hoyer are increasing their pressure. So there's two things real quick to encourage folks. If you're not already a part of Progressive Democrats of America, get active in the chapter. There's active chapters there in Missouri and throughout the country that you can be a part of. And be a part of Code Pink. We need an inside-outside strategy. And what we mean by that, we need that street heat that Code Pink's generating with PDA. We need to bring that street heat into Washington.
And go to people like Bernie Sanders, who disappointed me, because I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. He supported that bill, too.
Yeah, again, it's an amazing time. It's kind of like Alice in Wonderland going through the rabbit hole and looking back on all of this. We have the majority of Americans with us, as we've said. We have the street heat that's been generated, and yet the president continues, as you said, with the lowest popularity ratings, continues to be able to move the American public to more and more disaster. Just yesterday in Fallujah, the deaths, and before that, 3,300 Americans. It's got to end.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Tim Carpenter, co-founder and director of Progressive Democrats of America. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with us. Good morning. Now, I don't mean to be a nudge, but have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden, and take your vitamins.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Every day in Missouri, over 200 calls are made to the Child Abuse Hotline. The St. Louis Crisis Nursery needs your help to lower that number. The nursery is dedicated to raising awareness about child abuse and neglect and needs your help. With the support of our community through donations and volunteer time, the St. Louis Crisis Nursery will continue to care for children in crisis. For more information, call 314-768-3336 or visit crisisnurserykids.org. Together, we can ensure our children will not spend their adulthood overcoming their childhood. News to you from WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this morning with Tim Carpenter, co-founder, director of Progressive Democrats of America. He's joining us from Phoenix. And, Tim, let's talk about impeachment. Where are we on this issue? I know the bill was introduced about to impeach Cheney. Talk to us about the movement on this, because last year during the election I had the head of the Democratic Party on to talk about, and he told us that it was off the table.
Well, I think the first exciting news really for the grassroots, Liz, is what happened last week in California at the California Democratic State Party Convention meeting. PDA helped elect over 200 delegates who took an impeachment resolution to the state convention. And as you said, the leadership made it very clear they did not want to pass that resolution. There were 130 resolutions that were submitted to the resolutions committee, 30 of which were taken to the committee to be prioritized, and 10 resolutions ultimately made it out to the floor and were passed by the convention. Of the 130 that went and the 10 that were prioritized at the end, the number one was impeachment. So the grassroots Democrats in California made it very clear that impeachment is on the table. As you said, Congressman Kucinich has finally moved forward now with articles of impeachment on Vice President Cheney. And most importantly, the grassroots is continuing to organize and mobilize, just as we did in California in pushing the state party. Residents across this country from Vermont, where 40 town hall meetings have passed resolutions for impeachment, are continuing to organize and mobilize. In western Massachusetts, my hometown, we succeeded in passing 11 already in the past month and a half. So impeachment is very much on the table. As we said earlier in our conversation, Congressman Clay out there in Missouri has joined the movement. Jan Jaskinkowski out in Chicago, Illinois, have now co-sponsored Congressman Kucinich's bill. So we're moving forward. And again, the citizens are leading and the politicians are finally coming up behind.
And that's really the way that it needs to be, because we put them there and they're supposed to be doing what we want them and we tell them to do.
I just want to add two in regards to impeachment. I think it's important as we move forward to remind the listeners and folks that are organizing around this, the question of impeachment really has nothing to do in regards to revenge and to be vindictive against the president. Rather, it's about holding the Constitution and holding the Constitution up and holding our elected officials accountable. If we don't move forward with impeachment on President Bush, the next president is going to be able to lead us into an illegal and immoral war. He's going to be able to wiretap. He's going to be able to do torture. He's going to be able to do signing statements. So it's very important that we begin to really articulate to our friends at the water cooler and across the country, impeachment is about accountability. Our four founding fathers, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, gave us the tools 6 times in the Constitution. Now's the time to exercise that.
And they never said that you shouldn't do it because it's not the right thing to do, or because of public opinion, or because of concern about anything. This is all about concern about what this country is supposed to stand for, right?
Absolutely. It's the question of, are we going to hold our president accountable? We have the tools in the Constitution to do that, and do we continue to turn our back on it, or do we move forward? And we're excited that Congressman Kucinich has finally dropped it. We're excited now that a number of Congress members are talking about co-sponsoring it. And we need to keep that street heat going. Again, people should be encouraged to contact their Congress members to become co-sponsors of 333. We think the impeachment movement has everything to do with ending the war. What we call for now is impeach for peace. The only way, ultimately, at the end of the day, when we're going to get this president to end the war is to get him out of office.
And when we assess this whole impeachment movement,
Do we have polls out there, Tim, that talk to us about the public's mood and the public's opinion about impeachment?
Absolutely. The majority of Democrats and the majority of American citizens, when asked the question, is it time for the president to be held accountable for the war in Iraq, for the wiretapping and all of that, a majority of Americans say, from the Zogby polls to the UP polls, there's two websites I'd encourage folks who want more information about impeachment. One is called afterdowningstreet.org, afterdowningstreet.org. All of this information, the polls, why to impeach Cheney, why to impeach the president, it's all there, as well as action kits so that you can begin to organize and mobilize in your own neighborhoods. And then another very good website is Democrats.com, Democrats.com, afterdowningstreet.org. All of that information, I think some of the best stuff we can do on these call lists is give people the information they need, point in the right direction so that they can educate themselves, their family, and their friends. And I think those are two websites. Again, people need to remember the majority of Americans are with us. We are the majority here, and we need to move our elected officials.
When we look at a Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House, and we take into account that she, too, has made the same statement that Howard Dean has made, that impeachment is off the table, have we seen any movement on that from her? Has she softened her language at all, given what's happening right now?
No, she hasn't. I mean, she's continuing to hold that line, but I can say honestly, having met with her last week, I think she's better educated and aware now of the grassroots movement. I think oftentimes when you get inside the Beltway, you lose your balance, and you sometimes forget what's really happening at the grassroots. I think at the Democratic State Party meeting in California, we demonstrated to her and to the leadership there that a majority of Democrats certainly want to move in this direction. There were 1,000 delegates in the hall, and I would say honestly, every one of them had either a green sticker on that said, end the occupation of Iraq, or impeachment sticker. There were 300 impeachment T-shirts on the PDA delegates. We really showed them that, in fact, this movement is growing rather than waning. In fact, it's gaining strength. So I think just by the simple exercise of getting in front of these folks and showing them, hopefully her rhetoric will soften. But, you know, regardless, we need to continue to move forward. And, again, while we continue to focus on the speaker, and she certainly needs to be challenged, I tend to argue with some of my friends that actually she's more of a voice for us than against us. Again, I try to encourage folks to look beyond her and look at Steny Hoy and Rahm Emanuel. I think those are the people in the leadership. I think if she was allowed to be the speaker she wants to be, we need to remember to some degree that she's a congresswoman from the 8th District in San Francisco, one of the more progressive districts. She came out of the Progressive Caucus. I think she's more with us than against us, and I think that we need to support her where we can. It's certainly a challenge at times, but I do think she is more of a voice for us than maybe sometimes we give her credit.
And in terms of the Stennies and the Rahms, even when we look at what they tried to do in their last election cycle, demonstrates that they are out of touch with what America wants.
Absolutely, and I think the challenge for us, Liz, is to continue to get our men and women home from Iraq and to really fight for impeachment, but really to look and set our sights for the next election cycle, where Steny Hoy and Rahm Emanuel are going to be running centrist Democrats for the DCCC and the DLC. We need to be just as vigilant. We need to get those candidates on your radio show. We need to begin to organize and mobilize with Progressive Democrats of America and other progressive organizations to support those candidates. This fight, this struggle has to move into the electoral arena, and that will be the big challenge for us in 2008. We attempted that with the last election cycle. We challenged some of these candidates, and in some cases, the progressive candidates won. So we need to make this movement even stronger on the electoral cycles, and I think that's the challenge. We need to really let the Steny Hoyers and the Rahm Emanuels know that they don't speak for a majority of Democrats. We need to challenge them inside the Beltway. And most importantly, we need to match them precinct for precinct. We'll never be able to outspend them or outraise the money, but we can certainly compete with them when it comes to grassroots power. And I think that's the challenge right now for many of us, to make sure we're ready to go.
And when we look at these presidential candidates, because it feels like, Tim, everything is on the fast track. Everything is on a bullet train. All of our issues are moving very rapidly. So I guess it is no coincidence that we're starting the 2008 presidential campaign. Has been started. What do we see in terms of the issue of Iraq in the Democratic candidates that we have for the presidency?
Well, I think you really articulated exactly what's going on the fast track. And as you said, the bullet train. It's way too early to be talking about a presidential campaign. We're still, you know, almost a year out. But nevertheless, here we are.
Here we are. It is what it is.
We need to, as progressives, hold these candidates accountable on issues. Probably, without a doubt, the best two candidates currently on our issues are Senator Mark Gravel and Dennis Kucinich. Those are the two candidates that will continually to raise the issues that are most important to us as progressives, whether it be bringing the troops home by the end of the year, impeachment, single-payer health care. those are the candidates for us. The reality, as you know, Liz, is they're being marginalized because of the dollar race, mm-hmm. the horse race. So our role will be to make sure their message is heard and then to move to the top tier. And I'd say, honestly, the top tier right now would be Hillary Clinton and our good friend John Edwards and Barack Obama. And of those three, clearly for the progressives, Hillary Clinton's got a lot of work to do. Barack Obama, I think, remains a work in progress. We're curious. We're going to continue to follow him.
Is he? I've had a guest on the show from different organizations, Black Agenda Report, saying that he's a fine print candidate, that you need to really read the fine print and listen exactly to what Barack Obama says so that you understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, no, I think that's very accurate. And having, you know, grown up or working this last election cycle in Massachusetts and watching Deval Patrick and his evolution, I think we're seeing the same thing with Barack Obama. There's a lot of job training going on right now. We need to keep an eye on him. I think right now, honestly, the dark horse of the three is John Edwards. John Edwards made it clear his mistake in his vote on the war, unlike Hillary Clinton. He's talking about poverty, no other candidate. He committed 2 years of his life in the last, you know, coming off the presidential race to really move forward an agenda to deal with the poverty question. He's talking about universal health care. So, again, he remains probably of the three right now we're most curious to watch. But we got to keep all of them honest. There's a lot of work out there, and we need to continue when these candidates come through our town halls and to our ask for our money is to remind them of the issues that are important to us. While Barack Obama says he's opposed to the war, he's voted for all the appropriations. So we
so
need
how
to
do you reconcile
them we're
that? And how do you reconcile that? If you're given money for something that you say you don't support, how do you reconcile that?
It's very difficult. And again, at least John Edwards stood up and said, I made a mistake. He had the wisdom, the fortitude, and the ability to stand up and say, I made a mistake. And Hillary Clinton still refuses to articulate that.
And Tim Carpenter, co-founder, director of Progressive Democrats of America, where can people go to your website? How do they get there?
Well, thanks, Liz. We're at pdamerica.org, pdamerica.org. I very encourage folks, if you're not already registered on our website, please do that. We have a pull-down menu at the front. Contact all the folks there in Missouri. We have some thriving chapters out there. And as always, Liz, thanks for the opportunity. I really enjoyed the time together.
It's a pleasure having you, Tim. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Peace.
Peace. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back after this break. We're going to be talking about, we're going to go to the forest to try to see the forest and the trees. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. They've been watching them for a year, but the feds finally decided to move in on what's being called a homegrown terror cell from Albania. The members were targeting an army post in New Jersey. ABC's Pam Coulter has the story.
Six men are due to appear in federal court in Camden, New Jersey, to face charges of conspiracy to kill U.S. servicemen. Authorities say they are members of a homegrown terror cell that planned a commando-style attack on Fort Dix with the aim of killing as many soldiers as possible. They were arrested in an overnight sting in which an informant agreed to provide them with Russian-style assault rifles. ABC News learned that Fort Dix was chosen over several other potential targets because one of the men had free access to the post as a pizza delivery man. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
Albanians have not been connected to Al-Qaeda in large numbers here in the U.S., but that hasn't necessarily been the case elsewhere.
Large numbers of ethnic Albanians in the United States were going over to Kosovo to fight for essentially Albanian independence, if you will.
Former FBI agent and ABC News consultant Jack Clunan. President Bush heads to Tornado Flat in Greensburg, Kansas tomorrow. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
The president signed the federal disaster paperwork 24 hours after the gigantic tornado hit. But Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius says she doesn't have enough trucks and heavy equipment to cope with the cleanup. The Kansas National Guard vehicles were sent to Iraq and Afghanistan and have not been replaced. Neighboring states say they are under-equipped, too. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The British call them walkabouts, and that's just what Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip will be doing today on this last day of their U.S. trip. They'll visit the Goddard Space Flight Center near Washington, Children's National Medical Center, and the World War II Memorial. Tonight, they'll host the President and the First Lady for dinner at the British Embassy. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is down 61 points. This is ABC News.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by board-trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
What if I told you I could make your acne disappear and leave you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all the acne promises out there, you're skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a risk-free 60-day trial of a remarkable product called Proactive Solution. Proactive was developed by dermatologists for you to use at home without spending hundreds of dollars on doctor visits. To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution, just call 1-800-550-2238. Call 1-800-550-2238 for your risk-free trial. 1-800-550-2238.
Bill Clinton's schedule is pretty full with his wife running for president and all, but that doesn't mean he can't find time for a favorite hobby. Here's ABC's Bob Schmidt.
Half the time I do these things to see what people are thinking about.
Bill Clinton made a brief cameo appearance in Wordplay, last year's movie about a crossword puzzle competition. Now, the former president is designing crosswords. The online puzzle published last weekend by the New York Times was written by Bill Clinton. The theme chosen by the first baby boomer president was Twistin' the Oldies, the clues filled with puns about the music he grew up with. The Times puzzle editor Will Short says the former president has a flair for it, with clues that make you laugh out loud. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
Microsoft is rolling out its latest version of its free web-based email service. Windows Live Hotmail has a new look and features that are similar to the Outlook email program. What's new? Microsoft says spam control and fraud protection. There's also a mobile version of the service. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ferensmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, two brothers have been charged in a high-dollar burglary spree. 20-year-old Dion Howell and his 18-year-old brother DeAndre are allegedly responsible for nearly a dozen home and car break-ins in the past 2 weeks. Detectives say they expect to link them to several other crimes, and police say more suspects could be arrested soon. The Howell brothers are currently in custody. University City police are asking for the public's help in finding a missing student. 20-year-old Colleen Benedict was last seen on Saturday evening in the U-City Loop at the Qdoba Mexican Grill and also at Starbucks. Her roommates at SLU reported her missing on Monday morning. Police say they have no evidence of foul play. Anyone with information on Colleen Benedict's whereabouts is asked to call the U-City Police Department. Finally this hour, water rescue teams got some training at an unusual location. A 2-day training exercise was held at Six Flags St. Louis at the Thunder River Ride. The water ride was used to recreate flood conditions that rescue teams could face in real life. Rescue team members worked together to fight the 25-mile-per-hour currents of the artificial river. Firefighter Tara Wooten says that the ride may not be a big deal when you're buckled in your seat, but it's a different story when you're in the water. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 70 between Shreve and Kings Highway. Look for a vehicle on fire reported at North Kings Highway. Look for slow traffic there. Page at westbound west of Chutes. Look for a vehicle on fire there. One lane is closed. It's around Westport Plaza Drive. Westbound 40 at 170. Look for that exit ramp to be closed. Eastbound 70 from St. Charles Rock Road through Lindbergh, look for maintenance work. That has a roadway reduced to 2 lanes. Westbound 40 from Hampton through Oakland and from Oakland through Hampton going eastbound. Both roadways are reduced to 2 lanes. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing. Westbound 5570 into the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect no delays. Northbound Route 3 under the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well at this hour. Westbound 64 is moving into the 5570 merge very well this morning. Northbound 55 is moving well into the 270 interchange from Butler Hill. And then again from 3200 South Broadway into 44 is moving well. And northbound 270 at 44 is moving well. And at Highway 70, you can expect no delays in the 70 exit lanes. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly sunny this morning, then mostly cloudy by the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are possible, high in the lower 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, high around 80, and pretty much the same for Thursday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76 under mostly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the email is revolution@lizbrown.com. That's a revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up and get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. There are all kinds of stories going on out here in the world. And it's just so interesting that it depends on how and when the wake-up call brings the story, but soon after we have all other kinds of stories taking place. I'm looking at the story coming out of the UK Telegraph. American dream sours as the housing market collapses. Kathy Busby went into arrears on her mortgage after her monthly mortgage repayment soared by 40%. 40%. And when these houses are sold at auction, they're sold for less than full market price. Homeowners' losses will, according to the Center for Responsible Lending, $82 billion. $82 billion. New Century Financial went out of business, a mortgage lender, so we're not just talking about borrowers, but neither a borrower nor a lender be, apparently, in American in the American housing market. California, Arizona, Nevada, Colorado. This woman took out a 2 years ago took out a refinance mortgage to cover her existing car, her home, and student loans. She borrowed $170,000. The value of her home and interest at an interest rate of 7.6%. That's $1,076 a month. She knew that the rate would increase after 2 years, but planned to take out another loan at that point to avoid the extra charges. However, when she had her home revalued a few months ago, it was only worth $125,000, not $170,000. So she couldn't refinance her original loan. So now she must pay a 10% increase in her payment. So her payments of $1,500 a month, that's $425 increase. This is a woman who earns $4,000 a month before taxes. And another individual where the housing market has hit hard, Harvey Ryan, built his home 32 years ago. He took out a loan of $115,000 4 years ago. He can't meet the monthly charges of $1,052, which is half of his disability income and pension. So his house is gone. He suffers from dementia, and his house is gone. Gas is $3 and almost $3.50 a gallon. How you doing out there? My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. Place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
In honor of the 82nd birthday, and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth, UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out, join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m., and we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to talk about, much business to tend to. I'd like to take a step outside of this country. I'd like to step outside of this country. I'd like to think that we are focused on every kind of issue here on the wake-up call. Just last hour, we talked to the director of the Progressive Democrats of America, Tim Carpenter. The hour before, we had a conversation with Noah Merrill, with the Quakers, about the Iraqi refugee problem, the Iraqi refugee crisis. Now we're going to talk about another crisis, another issue that merits your attention. I have joining me from San Francisco, Annie Sartor. She is an old growth organizer with Rainforest Action Network. Annie, good morning.
Hello?
Good morning, Annie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Can we talk about the Grassy Narrows First Nation? Who is that?
The Grassy Narrows First Nation is a community of about 700 people that live in northwestern Ontario in Canada. They're an indigenous community that has lived on their land and their traditional territory for longer than I know, thousands of years. Right now, they are fighting for their right to live sustainably on their traditional territory, and they are resisting industrial activity on their land.
And this is not a new fight. This community has been fighting takeovers of their lands for decades and decades and decades and decades and decades, more decades than we can count. Can you give us some of the more recent fights that they have had to fight?
Well, the recent history of the people in Grassy Narrows is probably the history of the blockade that they've set up on one of the logging roads that goes into their traditional territory. In 2002, the youth in Grassy Narrows were so fed up by the adverse health and cultural consequences of industrial logging on their territory that they literally sat down on one of the logging roads going into their land and refused to let logging trucks through. That was December 2nd, 2002. 4.5 years later, that blockade is still active, and it's become the longest-running indigenous logging blockade in Canadian history.
So they have been able to stop what?
They have not been able to stop the logging. What they have been able to do with the blockade is stop some of the logging on some of the territory. The logging trucks that were going on that particular road aren't running anymore. Certain parts of their land are protected. What it's done is it's gotten a lot of visibility for their struggle, and it's also created an incredible impetus for the community to revive a lot of older traditional cultural practices that they've been using to give life to their community and try to recover and bring back some of their traditional practices in response to such heavy activity on their land.
Well, let's have a conversation about some basics. Who has the authority to make a decision on what should be done on the people of Grassy Knoll's land? Who has the authority to do that?
Well, and that's sort of a complex issue, actually. It comes down to a few players. The provincial government is responsible for allocating parts of the land for, say, logging, for example. Logging companies are responsible for taking on those allocations of land and logging them, and then also they play a big role in pressuring the government to maintain those allocations and maintain wood supply. The people of Grassy Narrows also say that this is truly a federal issue and that they are a sovereign nation and they should be dealing with the federal government of Canada and not the provincial government of Ontario. So there's a few players involved. At the Rainforest Action Network where I work, we are targeting Weyerhaeuser Corporation, which is one of the logging interests in Grassy Narrows, and demanding that they pull out of the area and also that they say to the provincial government that the government needs to solve this and to respect the rights of the people in Grassy Narrows.
Well, somebody had to give Weyerhaeuser permission to do what they're doing. Where did Weyerhaeuser go to get permission to do this?
They go to the provincial government. It's sort of a circular relationship that they have. The land use allocations are granted by the province of Ontario, and the province of Ontario is very much tied into making sure that the logging companies get what they want and what they need. Does that make sense? The logging companies spend a lot of time lobbying. They're a very powerful player within the province. So right now we're in a situation where the province is saying that they can't make changes because they're doing what the logging companies need, and the logging companies are saying that they can't make changes because they have to listen to the province.
Mm. We're going to take a quick break here, Annie. We're talking to Annie Sartor about she's an old growth organizer with the Rainforest Action Network. She's joining us from San Francisco. We're talking about the people of Grassy Narrows. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning. Now, I don't mean to be a nudge, but have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden, and take your vitamins.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Honor of the 82nd birthday and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out. Join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. And we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city. It's a burger place I've been. Make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot. Don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this morning with Annie Sartor. She is an old growth organizer with the Rainforest Action Network. She's joining us from San Francisco. We're talking about the people of Grassy Narrows. Annie, talk to us about clear cutting. What is clear cutting?
Clear-cutting, it's actually a pretty descriptive word. Clear-cutting is when a logging company will go into a forest and cut down everything, all the trees. So what you end up with is a patch of land that has no growth on it altogether.
Well, when it grows back, what happens?
Usually, a company like Weyerhaeuser or a corporation, what they don't do, it doesn't just grow back. I mean, it could potentially after a period of hundreds of years. Usually what a logging company will do, though, is they'll go back into an area that's been clear cut. They'll pull out any sort of brush that's still there, tree trunks or whatever, and they'll plant a tree farm so that they have a homogeneous crop, essentially, of trees, so that next time they don't have to go through and pick and choose trees, or they don't have to throw out trees that they don't want. They'll just cut everything. That's where you get when Weyerhaeuser has their company tagline is, for every tree we cut down, we plant another. We think that's absurd, because what they mean is they'll cut down a whole intact forest that's supporting biodiversity of animals and species and plants, and they'll plant a tree farm that doesn't support any sort of life in a forest.
And is that what is happening in with the community, with the people
of Grassy Narrows?
Mm-hmm.
There's not tree farming happening in Grassy Narrows now. What's happening is just the clear cutting. So areas that have been used by people looking for medicine or setting up trap lines to do the hunting and trapping are just gone. There's big slabs of earth that are eroding and affecting water quality and preventing the people from using that land to support themselves as they have for thousands of years.
How many people are part of the Grassy Narrows community? Hello?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Okay, how many people are part of the Grassy Narrows community?
About 700 people.
And when you talk to them, what is it that they want to happen?
They want control over their land. They are in a battle, and their fight is about having control and authority over deciding what happens on their traditional territory.
And when we talk about control, what kind of control are they asking for?
They feel like that land is theirs, and that they've lived on it for thousands of years, and that they should have the authority to decide what kind of industrial activity, if any, happening on their land. Just past January, the community in Grassy Narrows issued a letter signed by the leadership of the community and the blockaders, saying that they right now are demanding a moratorium on all industrial activity on all of the territory so that they can decide as a community, they can decide and come to a consensus as to what they want and what they will allow.
Now, Rainforest Action Network has accused Weyerhaeuser of human rights abuses. Explain that accusation.
Right now, the community in Grassy Narrows is suffering. They're repeatedly called on loggers and all people doing any sort of industrial activity on their land to stop. They're suffering human rights abuses. Human rights violations that we count as detriments to their culture, to their health, to their livelihood.
For example,
the people in Grassy Narrows can't hunt and trap as they have for thousands of years. They don't have access to trap lines because they've been clear cut. They're suffering health consequences of polluted water. There's a lot of people in the community that are suffering from fairly serious mercury poisoning. The culture has been severely affected because they don't have the ability to go out onto their land and teach their young people about their traditions. The community in Grassy Narrows actually uses much stronger language than we use, and they are calling it cultural genocide, what's happening on their land.
And they are defining cultural genocide as?
They look around at their land and at their community, and they see that the economic forces that are happening in the province are decimating their culture. And they take that very seriously.
So
when we say human rights abuses, I think that we're even toning down the language a little bit.
And when you make the accusation to Weyerhaeuser Corporation of human rights abuses, you're saying that because after the company refused to support some alternatives, talk to us about the alternatives that were taken to Weyerhaeuser and what they've rejected.
Well, we've been working with a number of organizations in the province who are trying to take a look at what sources are available for logging in the region. We came up with a document that is as accurate as we can put together, and found that it appears to be that there are a lot of other sources that Weyerhaeuser and any other logging companies up there can get their timber needs from elsewhere. They don't need to go into the forest around Grassy Narrows. Right now what's going on is Weyerhaeuser is disagreeing with us, and they are not showing us what sort of numbers they're looking at that would lead them to disagree. It gets into sort of a complex fight about timber sources and allocation, and the reality is that this is a community that is suffering greatly because of industrial activity on their land. They've demanded that activity to stop. Weyerhaeuser continues to make money off of timber coming from that land, and they are absolutely responsible to be to have best practices in respect to human rights to the community in Grassy Narrows, and they need to figure out where they're going to source from.
And, well, how much money are we talking about with perspective to Weyerhaeuser? How much money do they have or do they see they have in the land of Grassy Narrows?
See, I don't have figures. They won't release figures like that to us. What we do know is that this land that we're talking about is relatively minor in the grand scope of Weyerhaeuser's operations, and even in the grand scope of operations in Ontario. This should be something that they can move away from. We're not asking them to sacrifice their whole business model. This is something they should be able to move off of this traditional territory and source fiber from somewhere else.
So RAND is going to be attending the annual general shareholders meeting?
We did attend their shareholder meeting. It was April 19th in Federal Way, Washington.
And what was their purpose of attending the shareholder meeting, and what happened as a result of the attending?
Our purpose for attending that meeting was to register our concerns and make sure they hear again why they need to get out of Grassy Narrows and why it is so important. We attended because it's really our only opportunity in a year to speak directly to the board and the CEO of Weyerhaeuser. During that,
were you able to speak?
Yes, we spoke. There was representatives from Amnesty International came to speak to the human rights conditions on Grassy Narrows. We spoke as to Weyerhaeuser's responsibility to respect their human rights and to immediately cease operations in that area. We felt like it was important for them to hear the issue of the day. Weyerhaeuser is really good at really just sort of brushing aside any sort of responsibility for the issue, and that's what we saw again at the annual shareholder meeting.
And subsequent to that, there were some RAND activists that occupied a model home. Talk to us about that.
That was before, yeah, that was about a month before the annual shareholder meeting. In March of this year, we had some activists. Maybe I should back up a little bit. Weyerhaeuser owns a real estate corporation that builds model or new homes in the United States in about five regions in the United States. One of those is a company called Quadrant Homes, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Weyerhaeuser. And they build new homes in the Puget Sound region around Seattle. Seattle is also very close to Weyerhaeuser's headquarters in Federal Way. It's about a half hour south of Seattle. So we had some activists who went to a model home that nobody was living in, just outside of Seattle, and they climbed up on the roof and they dropped a banner saying that they would leave Weyerhaeuser's home when Weyerhaeuser left Rusty Narrows, and refused to come down.
Mm.
That got a strong response from company. Company was very upset. We had some people from Rusty Narrows who were doing a speaking tour that same week who were at that action and who earlier that week had met with executives from Weyerhaeuser. We felt like it was a really good way to get attention from Weyerhaeuser and also to get some visibility for the campaign and for the issue.
And, Annie, where can people find out more information about the plight of the people of Grassy Narrows?
You can visit www.freegrassy.org.
And they can find, a timeline and specific information about the mission and the campaign.
Exactly.
And where can people find out more information about the Rainforest Action Network?
You can go to www.ran.org.
And what's your next action?
Well, we're in a series of planning meetings right now. We're trying to sort that out.
I want to thank you very much, Annie Sartor. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the wake-up call.
Thank you so much.
Listen, folks, the number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Please don't forget that we're broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And you can always reach me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Stay with me.
Take the family to the food court. Your wife and Pete head for tacos. You and Danny want Chinese. You look up at the menu. You look down to see what Danny wants. But you don't see Danny.
Danny!
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if he were actually abducted. To receive free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
In honor of the 82nd birthday and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out. Join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. And we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen has a new time, Tuesdays from 10 until noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, please do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. It looks like, the issue concerning the firing of U.S. attorneys may come here. May come to the state of Missouri. We're going to talk about that in just a second. 1-877-920-WGNU, Bob.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
The gas crisis and the price crisis that we keep talking about, mm-hmm. they say it's supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the power that you say that people have, if they would act, we could solve the problem of supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
There's estimated 350 million automobiles and trucks on the highways in the United States, counting the rental cars that have full tanks in them all the time and fleet cars and police cars and everybody in our cars mm-hmm. and trucks. And most tanks carry from 15, some trucks carry 50 to 100 gallons. If we would stop storing the oil company's gasoline in our tanks, if we would just stop filling our tanks and start putting them half full, that would mean that there would be like 3 billion gallons of gasoline that the oil companies would have to store themselves because we're carrying it around in our tanks.
Mm.
And all we have, and I know it's the people power, and it's a little inconvenient for you to stop at a half a tank, but if we did it, we could cure the problem. Because they'd have to build over 20,000 storage tanks that hold 100,000 gallons of gasoline each, and they can't do it. So we would solve the problem. Stop storing their gasoline in our gasoline tanks, in our cars, and the problem solved.
There you go.
There is the power.
There is.
But will we do it? I don't know. But if it gets up to $5 a gallon, we might start thinking about why are we carrying their gas around in our cars.
There you go.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. This is a story that came out of the Sunday Boston Globe. Remember this name, Bradley Schultzman. Bradley Schultzman. Todd Graves was the U.S. attorney for Western Missouri. He had just brought 4 misdemeanor vote fraud indictments during his 5 years as U.S. attorney for Western Missouri, even though his fellow Republicans wanted stricter oversight of the Democratic efforts to sign up new voters. Then in March 2006,
Todd Graves was replaced by Bradley Schultzman, a new U.S. attorney, one who had no prosecutorial experience and one who bypassed Senate confirmation processes. Bradley Schultzman moved aggressively where Graves had not. He announced felony indictments of four workers of Acorn in a voter registration fraud charges less than a week before the 2006 election. I guess he did. Republicans applauded, of course they did. But people who understand the process say that Schultzman violated a department policy to wait after an election to bring voter fraud indictments if the case could affect the outcome, either by becoming a campaign issue or by scaring legitimate voters into staying home. Missouri is becoming ground central in this case of the firing of all of these U.S. attorneys. They hired one and they got some indictments, huh? Contrary to their own policy, contrary to common sense, and the question is going to emerge, contrary to the law. Let's take a look at who this Schultzman was. He spent 3 years as a political appointee in the Justice Department Civil Rights Division, where he supervised amongst, incredulously enough, he supervised the voting rights section. There he came into conflict with a veteran staff over his decisions to approve a Texas redistricting plan and his decision to approve a Georgia photo ID voting law. Both of those, by the by, helped Republicans. He hired many new career lawyers with strong conservative credentials. Schultzman was reshaping the Civil Rights Division, said Joe Rich, who was the chief of the Voting Rights Section until taking a buyout in 2005. Schultzman doesn't know anything about voting law. All he knew is that he wanted to make sure that Republicans were going to be win. Schultzman, of course, not surprisingly, declined to be interviewed. Last week, the Department of Justice was forced to acknowledge that a key player in the U.S. attorney firings, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's former White House liaison, Monica Goodling, is under internal investigation for allegedly taking party affiliation into account when hiring career assistant U.S. attorneys. Oh, by the by, that's against the law. Schultzman, a replacement attorney with controversial hiring record of his own, looks like he might have to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee at the request of Claire McCaskill. Now, how did Schultzman get into this issue? How did he get into this to this predicament? Well, in 2003, he was promoted to Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Civil Rights Division. He supervised several sections, including voting rights. And in 2005, in the fall, he was promoted to acting head of that division. Now, almost immediately, the ink wasn't even dry when he was on his, the ink that gave us his promotion, gave him his promotion. When Schultzman and his team soon came into conflict with veteran voting rights specialists, there were career staff committees that recommended rejecting a Texas redistricting map in 2003 and a Georgia voting photo ID vote law in 2005, saying that it would dilute minority voting power. But Schultzman said, I don't care. We're doing it. And what happened? Well, there lots of money had to be spent, lots of time had to be engaged in, and they were overturned by the courts. And also, Schultzman it has been said that Schultzman pushed the section to divert more resources into lawsuits, forcing states to purge questionable voters from their rolls. One lawsuit was against Missouri, where coinky dinky. He became a U.S. attorney. Oh, and a coinky dinky at court throughout the Missouri lawsuit this year. Check these stats out. Schultzman was also in charge of the hiring for the voting rights section. So when he became in charge of the hiring, check this out. Half of the 14 career lawyers hired were members of the Conservative Federalist Society or of the Republican National Lawyers Association, up from none in the 8 career hires in the previous 2 years. The average, according to U.S. News and World Report, the ranking of the law school attended by the new career lawyers plunged from 15 to 65. People were being hired more for their political views than for their legal credentials. Mark my words. We're going to be hearing more about this. Wouldn't it be interesting? Isn't it interesting if Missouri ends up in at Ground Central for the firings of U.S. attorneys? My name is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. And until then, stay strong.
For all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you get there?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many